And you wonder, what the heck is going on? What has happened to our nation? And really, the portion of scripture that I'm going to talk about today will explain exactly what's going on. It will explain what is broken. And I believe if we understand what's broken, then you know what needs to happen in order to fix it. And so we're gonna look at that today. It's going to be based a little bit on what Pastor Daniel spoke about last week. He talked about truth, you know, that Jesus is the truth, really. And we live in a day in which people are like, you know, what is the truth? Can the truth be known? Yes, the truth can be known. Daniel talked about, you know, approaching somebody and they say, well, yeah, we know the truth, but we don't want to know the truth. Because somehow we know if we know the truth, it's going to mess our life up. And that really is the core issue of why people reject truth. I talked about 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Apostle Paul. He talked about not being ashamed of the gospel. And the reason he wasn't ashamed of the gospel is this. He says, in the gospel, several things happen. You find the way of salvation. The gospel lets people know how to be saved. And the second thing, really, the gospel shows the righteousness of God and also how to get right with God. That's why the gospel needs to get out there. And that's why the enemy hates the gospel. The most dangerous thing that you could do on planet Earth is to share the gospel. You're dangerous, I tell you what. And that's why he hates it. But we talked about 2 weeks ago that God really has legit righteous anger toward man because he's revealed himself. He says, there's no excuse, is really what the Apostle Paul says. God has revealed himself all around us, right? When we look at an ultrasound and we see a baby and we see the miracle of birth, if you knew the million and a half things that must go right for birth to happen, you would understand that it is by God's design. If you see the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountain ranges and the ocean, all that is indicators that God exists. And so he says everybody's without excuse. Everybody's without excuse. And really the problem has been that people suppress the truth, that people will hinder the truth, or people will outright reject the truth. And the reason why is because people want to live the way they want to live. They don't want God telling them what to do because they know better, right? They know better. You know, when I worked with government and I would tell people, okay, you think you know better? Show me the mountain range that you put in its place. Show me the Mount Hood that you put in its place. You know, show me the star that you put in its place. They couldn't show me the star. And yet, somehow they think they can run their life better than God did. And so people want to live the way they want to live. And so because of that, God's anger is a legit righteous thing. But I want to begin this morning by asking two questions. And these questions might seem to you, whoa, those are weird questions. But they're, if you understand the Bible, they're very legitimate questions. Here's the first one. Here's the first one. Is it possible that God will remove his hand of restraint from people or from nations? Is it possible that God will remove his hand of restraint from people or nations? And then the other one is, when people say to God, you know, God, get off my back. They either say it verbally or they say by act or deed. Right? There, one or two ways. That's really the message. If people say, God, get off my back, will he? And that's what we're going to look at this morning because it'll let you know what's going on in our nation. Here's what I got to remind you again about the Bible. The Bible means what it says. The Bible means what it says. A lot of people say, man, I don't understand the Bible. When they tell me that, chances are they're not really reading the Bible because the Bible is very clear. It explains itself, and you're going to see it today. You don't need me, as a matter of fact, today to be up here and explain it to you. You're going to see it. It's so obvious, and that's the way really the Bible is. And so I've talked today, or I've titled the message, Have It Your Way. Have It Your Way, and you're going to see why it's titled that way. And it's as if we got to understand the hand of restraint of God. God is restraining a nation. God restrains a people. But there comes a time when God will say, have it your way. Let's look in verse 24. It says, Romans 1:24. Therefore means as a result of what I explained about the truth of God being known already and about the gospel and people rejecting it. Therefore, he says, because people have rejected the truth, because people have rejected God, therefore, God has given them up to uncleanness. Well, that's so scary to me, that God has given someone up. And you got to understand, in this portion of scripture you're going to read, it is said that way three times. Three times it says God has given them up. Now, that's scary, because if you know anything about biblical interpretation, there's actually rules of biblical interpretation. And when people violate those rules is when they get off into some weird doctrines. But here's one of the rules of biblical interpretation, that the more something is mentioned, the more important it is. So in three places here in this portion of scripture, it says God also gave them up. So it's therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. So God, in essence, to this group that says, God, I want my way, I'm going to reject or suppress the truth, or I'm going to pretend the truth doesn't exist. What it says is, to that group, God says, have it your way in your lust. You want to lust about something? Have it your way, right? Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. And then look what happens. You're going to see this. There's a projection as it happens, or a process that begins to happen. And what happens? It says they began to dishonor their bodies among themselves. What happened is this. They began to live in a way that God never meant for them to live. So God gave man up to do as they willed, and he removes his restraint. Now that should scare you. Because if you truly know yourself, you know what's possible. Right? You know what's possible. When people say, God, I want to do what I want to do, that's a scary place. Because some of us have been there before. Right? We're like, I'm choosing sin. And that's a scary place, that God, if God says, okay, whatever you're lusting for, I'm going to remove my restraint. Somebody said this about sin. They said, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Sin will keep you there longer than you ever wanted to be. And sin will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Amen. For anybody that has come from addiction background, what I'm talking about this morning, you're going to say, man, that's my story. That is my story. That God lifted his hand of restraint from me, and the downward spiral began to happen. And so sure enough, God removes his hands of restraint because man have rejected him. Once again, these three times when God says he gave them over, it's in response to man deciding, no, I want sin. I want to live my life apart from God. And God says, okay, have your way. Scary proposition. So the rejection happens. People reject the truth, and there becomes a downward spiral. And so I'm going to use my story as an example. Kind of the first place is indifference. I remember when I was 14 years old, I just graduated from eighth grade, was going to go into high school. So I signed up for summer school, because I thought, you know what, my goal, I'm going to get out of high school in 3 years. I mean, I'm going to go get it. And so I signed up for summer school. Well, in summer school, I met older kids, right? I met and it dawned on me, the reason they're taking summer school is because they've goofed around, and they're taking summer school because they're hoping to graduate. Well, I'm 14 years old, want to be liked by a kid. So that first stage really is kind of a place of indifference. You know, it's like, because what these kids were doing, they were going out and drinking, right? And so I'm like, well, you know, it's their thing. And that's kind of where it starts, an indifference. Well, you know, it's their thing. I've got no problem with it, kind of. And then you get into the place of confusion, where you're like, well, I don't know if it's really right or wrong. You know, it's their thing. Whatever, right? To each their own, we say, right? And then there becomes a darkenedness. Pretty soon, the mind is darkened. Pretty soon, I'm in a place where I really don't know, maybe is it right or not? Is it situational or not? Maybe it's right for them, not for me. There becomes a darkness that begins to happen. And then the next level is really a place of godlessness. In other words, a place in which you don't even consult with God. You're not even thinking about what God wants. And the reason you're not consulting with God, because you don't want God to tell you what you don't want to hear. And then ultimately, you end up in a place of idolatry, right? A place where you dishonor the Bible. Now, or do you dishonor the body? Well, you know, you're like, idolatry, I don't worship gods. I don't bow down to gods. Idolatry, you got to understand, for those of us in the Western world, we have a hard time understanding idolatry. We think, well, it's bowing down to some little, you know, little idol that's on your mantle. And you say, I don't do that. No, idolatry is whenever you replace God with somebody else or something else. Well, when I was 14 years old, I replaced God with me. See? So if you really want to understand idolatry, we'd be glad. Come on in. We'll take a picture of you. We'll make a little, you know, life-size thing of you, you know, and you can put it on your mantle to remind you who's in charge or who's not in charge. Right? You're like, whoa, I'm not in charge. I'm going to burn that little guy of me. That's really idolatry. And so I'm in charge. So what happened? Remember I said sin will take you further than you wanted to go. Right? It'll keep you longer than you wanted to be, and it'll cost you more. So here I am. I enter summer school because, man, I'm gonna excel. I'm gonna graduate in 3 years. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, I want to be liked. I'm just coming to school. I want to be liked. So pretty soon I start hanging out with these guys, and then pretty soon, you know, we were drinking, and then pretty soon we're getting drunk, and pretty soon I'm getting drunk every day. I mean, every day, right? We're going to, you know, where do 14-year-olds get booze? You go to this little town, right? You know, to this little store where you lie to them about your age, and they kind of believe you, and they send you with all this booze. And so here I'm like, wait a minute. Here I am. I want to be an accomplished student, and I'm getting drunk every day. I'm missing class. I'm lying to my parents. I'm out there driving, right? Impaired, possibly could kill people. How did that happen? The Lord lifted his hand of restraint, right? His hand lifted the hand of restraint, right? If that's what you want, if you want to lust after being liked, is that what you want? You want to be liked? Then guess what? I'll let you have your way. So why does give man up? Well, he gives man up because man chooses sin over God. Right, and we see this. It maybe goes from a habit to being mastered to then ultimately being addicted, where you can't even control it anymore. You begin to destroy the body, the soul. I mean, you're no longer the same person you were. Right, and so really, God gives man up because man gives God up, and He says if man turns his back on God, God will say, okay, have your way. Right, and then he talks about uncleanness. There's a thing when you dishonor your body, you pretty soon end up in a pig pen. I mean, you sometimes, and once again, those that have been there before, and a lot of us have, you end up places that you swore you'd never. You're like, how did I end up here? Haven't anybody else besides me said, how have I ended up here? Like, what the heck? That's what he's talking about. And so the Lord says, you want a pig pen? I'll let you wallow in the pig pen. Scary place to be. And that's exactly what's going on in our nation. The Lord said, you want to give yourself to certain lusts? I'll let you do that. I'll let you do that. But you got to understand this about God. God will appeal to us. That's why I'm here. God doesn't just let you, you know, he's not going to give up on you without appealing to you. And that's why I'm here today, to appeal to you. To not say, Lord, I just want to live this way and don't bother me about it. I know it's wrong, but I want to do it anyway. I'm here to appeal to you that you don't want to go there. That's why I'm here. See, that God loves you. Because you're like, what? Wait a minute, this is kind of heavy. You know, I came to church to hear about how God loves me. Right? Whoa, this is kind of heavy. He does love you. I'm the example of him loving you. He's appealing to you now. He's warning you now. Right? See, God gives us a free will, and if we turn away from him, he allows it. He will not violate our will any more than you would violate your kid's will. You don't, you know, when your kid's growing, okay, I want you to 5 times a day tell me you love me. No, let's make it 20, right? I mean, you'd never do that. And he does the same thing. We turn our back on him, he's like, okay, have your way. Look what Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 says. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. This I say, the Apostle Paul, therefore, and testify to the Lord that you should what? No longer walk a certain way, right? No longer walk. Once again, he's making an appeal. You used to, Cardinals, you used to walk this way, but now I'm telling you, don't walk that way no more. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles do. Don't walk like these knuckleheads that you met, right? Don't walk like them. And you know what ultimately had to happen? You know what? It got so bad. I'll tell you the rest of the story. I quit summer school like 2 days before it was done. I mean, I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, being drunk every day was just, it wrecks your body, right? Even when you're 14. So I never graduated from summer school. Sorry, Sonia. I say that because Sonia's jotting. She's going to be a teacher. That was her degree. Yeah. He said, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. He said, man, because they're so into it, they're not even thinking straight. Having their understanding darkened. They don't even have understanding anymore. It's almost like they've lost the understanding of right from wrong. Being alienated from the life of God. See, this is kind of sad and also good news. It says they're alienated. They don't have a part of what God has for them. Well, see, it's kind of like the negative is, man, they're not sharing in what God has for them. But the positive is, wait a minute, God has something for me? See, I want that. I want, because I already tried this, and this didn't work for me, and it won't work for you either. But I want the life that he has. But he says, don't be alienated by walking the way they walk. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness that is in their hearts. Who being past feelings had given themselves over to lewdness and to work unclean and greediness. You know, these people are beyond really feeling about this. They're in all the way. He's talking, these folks, they're in their sin. You know how people are in their sin? You know what the difference is? Because they'll argue about their sin with you. How many of you ever argued about your sin, right, with other people? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at it now and you're like, well, why was I protecting that sin? It tells you right now. That's what you were doing, right? You were in. You're no longer, you're beyond feelings. You're just in, and you're going to protect your sin, and you're going to argue with people about your sin. That's a scary place to be. So is there an area that you're protecting right now that you're arguing with people? You know, people come to you and say, you know, I think you, whatever, and you're like, you're arguing. All of a sudden you're just, you know, this thing goes out. That's probably the issue. And the key is you just repent and say, man, Lord, you're right. I'm busted, Lord. I'm going to give that up. I don't want to walk that way. Right? Now you have to ask yourself, why would God lift his hand and restrain. He said, man, you want to lust after her? Go ahead. Why would he do that? Well, number one, he's giving you what you want. But then another thing, and once again, those of you that come from addiction background, you know, sometimes it takes you hitting what? Rock bottom. Sometimes addiction people say it this way. What did they say? It's like you're beyond tired. It's like you're, what's the term that they use? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah. I mean, it's sad that we have to get to that place. And then we cry out to God, God. Well, then guess what? He'll come. He'll come. But I'm warning you right now so that you don't have to hit rock bottom. That today you can say, man, Lord, woo! Lord, thank you that you sent Pastor Carlos to warn me, right? So the Lord will say, have it your way in your lusts. And then this next thing. Second thing, he'll say also have it your way in your self-deception. Sometimes we get our place where we're self-deceived. Look at Romans 1:25, the next verse. So he's talking about these people that rejected the truth, right? They know the truth. We all know the truth, but he said they rejected it. He said, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, a conscious thing. They're making a choice. They know the right thing to do, and they're like, I don't want to do the right thing. That's a choice, right? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature. The creature. I'm in charge. I'm going to make my decisions. They served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. See, sin always takes place in the heart first. You make a decision here. You know what? I got it, Lord. I can handle it. I can dabble in sin a little bit. I can go right up to the edge. I don't work. Anybody besides me gone to the edge, and it's like somebody pushes you over the edge. Amen. There is one that pushes you over the edge. You cannot, right? You cannot serve the creature. You must serve the creator. And so what happens is all of a sudden they begin to go against God's created order and design. And we see that in our nation, right? They begin to abandon the things that God created them to do. In other words, God didn't create us to be addicted. He didn't create us to be addicted. He didn't create us to harm other people. He didn't create us to harm ourselves. But that's what he's talking about. that eventually we go over the edge and we're living in a way that he never created for us to live. And even worse than that, we now defend it. If anybody tells us we're wrong, well, we're going to defend it. We're going to put the boxing gloves on because I want to protect my sin. We are a nation that's protecting any sin. Man, it's crazy. Crazy the sin that as a nation we're protecting now that we're willing to argue. That's self-deception. It's a scary place to be. Look what 1 John says. 1 John 2:15 and 17. It says, do not what? Love the world. You got to look out for that. Or the world system. Or the way the world does. Do not love the world or the things of the world. That is what the world offers. I got to tell you, it's probably harder being a Christian in our nation than some other nations. That maybe even Christianity is illegal. I mean, it's probably harder. You know why? Because we live in a world that's tempting us. We live in a world, in a culture that is offering you and I all kinds of stuff. And he's saying, look out. Don't love the world. In fact, I would say hate that. You know, hate that. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lord said, don't pretend that you're with me when you're not with me. It's like this. Here's the dividing line. Here's the world. Here's the kingdom of God. He says, you make a decision. Don't pretend that you're in the kingdom of God when you're loving the things of the world. I mean, the Bible is real clear. Like, is that what it means? Yeah, that's what it says. What it means. For all that is in the world, it's telling you the things you got to look out. The lust of the flesh, talking about pleasure. The lust of the flesh, right? Pleasure. He says, you got to look out for that. And we're in a nation that wants to give you pleasure, you name it, whether it's entertainment or whatever it might be. Right? Bigger and better and faster. You got to look out. You got to look out. You know, you think, you know, and I'll just speak to this, even some of the things that have come into our homes. Some of us would say we would have never gone to view it somewhere else. And so the enemy, he's smart. He's like, man, I can't get him to go see it at that bar, right? You know, I can't get him to go over there. You know what? I'll bring it to the home. Man, he's got us. Those are the things of the world. And so we have to be smarter than that. We have to, you know what? Dad, he's sneaky. He brought it into my home. I'm going to kick it out of my home. Right? The lust of the flesh, that pleasure, the lust of the eyes, the stuff that we see, he's got all kinds of shiny stuff for us. You know, yesterday, Lonnie Canodell was here. He's a realtor in our church. He's got a beautiful truck. He really does. Beautiful truck. And so I always talk about, you know, my truck. It's, I think, a 2001 Ford F-150, right? It was a 99. It's an older truck, right? But it's got all the paint. Four tires, you know, but I'm pleased with my truck until I see Lonnie's truck drive up. Then I'm like, man, I got a junker of a truck. That's what it's talking about. He said, you got to check that in your heart because all you're content, and the Lord wants us content until you see what somebody else has. And then you want, he goes, you got to look out. You got to look out for that. And the pride of life, achievements, possessions. You're chasing something because you want to be somebody. No, be who God made you to be. That's it. Right? Well, I got to get a bigger house because then people are going to be impressed. No, they're not. No, they're not. I got to get the newest car so people be impressed. No, they're not. Right? Be who God called you to be, period. Right? Follow His will, His plan for your life. She says, because all these things are not of the Father. Why would you want something that the Father didn't give you? Come on. Doesn't make sense. It's like disease, right? Say your family line, man, you guys are all healthy. You're living to 102. And then you hear of another family that they all die of a heart attack at 50. Wouldn't it be ludicrous to say, you know what? I'm kind of tired with this living healthy for 102 years. I think I'm going to have some of that in my line. I want to drop at 50. You would never do that, and yet that's what he's talking about. That you're saying, I want what the world has for me, even though you know it's going to kill you. It's in the Word, right? The world is passing away, and so are the lusts. But here comes the good news. I love the Bible because there's always good news. You got to get to the good news. You got to get to the but, right? But he who does what? The will of God abides forever. I'll take forever. I'll take forever in heaven. And I think Oregon's beautiful, especially when you go away to Texas and you come back. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. No geckos running up the wall. No big bugs, you know. You can actually sit on the grass because there's no big old ants that'll take you away. I mean, you know, I love this state, but it doesn't compare to heaven. Yeah. Here's the third one. I'm going to speed up on these next two. So the Lord will say, have it your way regarding your lust. The Lord will say, have it your way regarding your self-deception. The Lord will say, have it your way in your shameful passions. The Lord says, if you want to be shameful, go ahead. And he's talking about this group. Look at verse 26, 27. He says, for this reason, because they rejected me, because they didn't want any part of me. They didn't want me in their life. The Lord says, okay, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. For this reason, God what? Gave them up. There you have again. God says, okay, I'm moving my restraint. Have your way. Scary place to be. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Vile means unclean. Passions, this word means uncontrolled, where you can't even control yourself. And once again, if you come from an addiction background, you know that. I mean, Steve, how many times you said, ma'am, no more? Thousands of times. You're like, I'm done. And then by noon, you're drunk again. You know, like, right? He's like, man, I'm out of control. That's what it's talking about, vile passions. It's passions that you no longer can control. Right? He says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural youth. Right? So they're now going to live in ways that God never meant for them to live. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what was shameful. Shameful to who? Shameful to God. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, sometimes when we think the penalty of their error, you know, once again, he says, if you want to crave something that's illegitimate, so crave something that's unnatural, I'm going to abandon you to it. But then it says you're going to receive the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, sometimes we think what God's going to do because is God's going to rain fire and brimstone on people. You know what he does, what he's talking about? No, God says, go ahead. See, that to me is scarier. When I want to go against what God has created, and God will says to me, go ahead. Because I know how deep and down I know how deep I can go. I know how vile I can get. I know the passions. You know, my pastor used to say something like this. She'd say, you've been saved too long. What? You know what my pastor meant? You forgot where the Lord found you. Don't ever forget where he found you. Don't live there. But don't ever forget what's possible. Otherwise, you'll ignore this. You'll think, oh, this applies to somebody else. No, it applies to us. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to a Greco-Roman culture. And he's writing to the Greeks, to the Romans. He's writing to Christians that are living in Rome. And if you know anything about Greek and Roman culture, I tell you what, they were very sexual. I mean, there was a lot of sexual perversion. You look at the emperors. I mean, the first 14 and 15 emperors were, I mean, sexually deviant people. I mean, they were just messed up. It was a messed up culture. And if you study that culture, you're going to say, whoa, this looks like America. And it's to that culture that he's writing to. So that culture that he's writing to. See, Augustine, a theologian, he understands what I'm trying to teach you. This is what he says, Augustine. He says, the penalty of sin is what? Sin. Since sin never satisfies. He's like, man, if God releases this restraint, there you go. More sin, it'll never satisfy. If so, you would have stopped the first time you sinned. How many of you have sinned the same thing more than once? Raise your hand. I mean, you've done the same sin maybe more than 1,000 times, let's be honest, right? Sin does not satisfy. So why do we keep doing it? See? It's a place where we say, Lord, man, whatever you tell me to do in my life, whatever I got to give up. Lord, let me give it up. Because I don't want you to lift your hand of restraint from me. The fourth thing that we see here, also, God will say, have it your way in forgetting God. If people say, God, I want nothing to you to do with my life, God says, okay, I'll let you have what you want. Look what it says, verse 28 through 31. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Once again, he's saying they know about God. They know about God. They just don't want God in their life. They know God exists, but they want nothing to do with him. You know, Daniel, when he went to PCC, I've been telling him for years about this. And he saw firsthand, he goes to PCC and he's talking to people. As soon as he brings up Jesus, they're like, whoa, I don't want nothing to do with that. Conscious choice. You know, it's one thing to say, Jesus, who's he? They know who Jesus is. That's why they don't want anything to do with him. And it's talking here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind. A debased mind, really, debased means the word in the original language, it really means that it's a rejected or depraved mind. It's like this, if you were the inspector and you inspected, you know, nickels being made and you get a nickel that's marred, well, you don't put it into circulation, you take it out of circulation. You reject it, and that's what he's saying. That pretty soon the mind is not working the way he meant it to work. The Lord made us to have minds that are discerning. And what he's talking about here, there comes a time when God lifts his hand where your mind cannot discern. You think that which is evil is good, and you think that which is good is evil. That's a depraved mind. So he gives them over to a debased mind to do the things that are not even fitting. Then he gives a whole list, right? A whole list. Once again, if you want to see another list, write down in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Another list, scary list, especially when you find yourself in that list. So look at verse 29. He says, they began to do things that weren't fitting. Once again, this is a group that says, I want nothing to do with God. Okay? Look what's going on. Being filled with all unrighteousness. I mean, they don't even care about being right with God. Sexual immorality, that covers a lot of stuff. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whispers, in other words, slanderers. They'll stab you in the back. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, means they reject the truth, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Like, whoa. The Lord's saying that this is possible, right? If you don't approve of me, right? If you don't recognize me, if you don't acknowledge me, I'll say, okay, have your way. And then the spiral begins. You want to see depravity? Let me lift my hand from your life, and depravity happens. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says this. Do not be deceived. Now, once again, this is written to Christians. So when I read something like that, I'm like, woo! If he's writing to Christians, do not be deceived, it means it's possible to be what? Deceived, and a lot of Christians are. I mean, I'm on Facebook just like you are, and some of the stuff that Christians believe, it marries up with what the world believes. Those are deceived believers. They need to read Galatians 6. And so you and I have to be careful. If I agree with the world, something's wrong with me. Right? Something's wrong with it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Well, he's talking about be careful what you plant because you're going to reap it. A good for instance. Say you hate somebody. You just, you know, well, and you have your reasons, right? I hate them because I just don't like them. Like, whatever, they did me wrong. You know, I hate my brother, my sister, I hate somebody. So you plant the seed of hate, you plant the seed of unforgiveness, and then you're surprised when people at work come at you. When people at work badmouth you and hate you and bring up... Once again, it's saying, don't be deceived. If you plant that seed of unforgiveness, don't expect people to overlook your mistakes. If you plant hate, expect people to then come and hate you. Or maybe even worse, your kids to hate you. See, that's what, you know, I see that as parents. You know, you teach parents, as parents, you teach your kids to maybe hate somebody, you know, whether it's the ex. I'm not vouching for the ex. Yeah, so, you know. But you got to be careful. If you teach your kids to hate the ex, whoever the ex is, you got to be careful because you're planting a seed that eventually can be used against you. So don't be surprised when your kids grow up and then they hate you. I can't believe there. I was the good parent. But you plan. That's what it's talking about, church. We're being real this morning, huh? Okay, good, good. Because I wanna save you the pain. I want to save you the pain. Verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But here's the good news. See, I love the Bible, good news. But he who sows of the Spirit, in other words, praying, right, doing the right thing, being right with God, being in church, right, reading the Bible, putting the principles of the Bible into action. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal or everlasting life. I love that. Everlasting life. I love life. You know, East River, Ezekiel 47, this is a life-giving church. We're about coming into a circumstance and bringing life. We're about a marriage that's falling apart. We enter and we bring life to that marriage. Someone's dying in the hospital, we go in there and we bring life to it. Someone's addicted, we break the addiction, we bring life again. I mean, that's what we're about. And in order to do that, we got to be a people of the Spirit. Here's number 5, the last one, and I'll wrap this one up. The Lord said, well, okay, have it your way in eternal separation. If you don't want anything to do with me, the Lord said, okay, you won't have me for eternity. He's talking about hell, right? Look what he says. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, and other people know that they're going to give an account, but I don't care, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do they do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. Once again, the Roman culture, Greco-Roman culture, just like in our culture, they legalize stuff. They legalize a lot of perversion. They legalize a lot of evil things. In fact, they not just legalize it, they celebrated it, right? They celebrated evil. And the Lord said, okay, if you want to do that, you got to understand there's a judgment. And what you're saying is, I want to live the way I want to live, and I'll take my chances in the judgment. The Lord said, okay, I'll give you over to that. I'll give you over to that. That's a scary place to be. He says, not only do they practice these things, but they approve of those who practice them. It's kind of funny. People don't like to sin alone. These knuckleheads that I hung out with, why do they do it together? Because sin loves company. You know, when I worked in federal government, obviously we knew, okay, that's a drug house, right? Or we'd call it a drug den. How do we know that? Well, that's where druggies go to what? Get high. See, they like company. We know that's that kind of bar. We know that's that kind of bar. Well, how do we know that? People go there to what? Sin together, right? He says, this is like a downward spiral. Not only are you defending your sin, right? Not only are you downward spiral, but now you want somebody else to join in with you. You know? It's kind of interesting. Some of us, and it blows my mind. Some of us learned sin from our own families. Wait a minute. You know how terrible it was. You should have protected me from the sin, not included me in your sin. A lot of the sin that I got involved were because my older brothers. Whoa, bro, you should have kept me from the sin. Psalms 81. I'm going to finish with this. This is my last verse. Psalms 81, verse 11, 12. It says, but my people would not heed my voice. They won't listen to me. Right? See, God has a complaint against people. Man, they're not listening to me. It's like we understand if we have kids. And when they're little, they listen to us. Oh, you know. Then they become teenagers and they don't. Right? What the heck happened here? But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. They're rejecting him. So I gave them over to their stubborn heart. You want to be stubborn? Have your way. To walk in their own counsel. In other words, to figure it out themselves. Yet there's hope. And here's the hope, church. That all you got to do is repent. Repent means to have your change of mind and how you're thinking. That you're saying, you know, I thought this was right, or I thought this was right. But Lord, no, it's wrong. It is totally wrong. I approved of this. I agreed with this just so people would like me. Right, so I wouldn't get in arguments with people. And so I've compromised. And so really what you do is you say, Lord, I was wrong. I chose people over you. I chose what people say over what you say. And Lord, I repent of that. Say, Lord, I changed my mind about that. And Lord, instead I say, Lord, I will line up with you. And you know what? The Lord forgives you. Just like that, the Lord forgives you. And he said, okay, good. I'm glad you're back on the right track. Amen. Everybody up. Let's worship the Lord.
Time of need, Lord, I turn to you once again.